What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 29th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Oh, Lance McCullers, you were so good. McCullers was inside the lines. Thank you, Ethan Kaplan, for that graphic. 6 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts. By the way, it was a 4.5 ERA. Just want to put that out there for a poor quality start. But yes, 18 whiffs, 37% CSW for a golden goal. It was not a complete fluke. If you were with me in New York last week, you would have heard me say that Lance McCullers is going to have a double-digit strikeout night. I just don't know when, if it's going to be the next couple weeks, if it's going to be in a month, but he's going to have one. Didn't think it would be in just a week, but here we go, with the curveball being incredible, the slider being a very stable pitch, lots of strikes in this. He was filthy. Thing is, Lance McCullers is also still erratic, and he's going to have nights like this, and then he's not. It doesn't always depend on opponent. That said, he does get the Pirates next, and then it's the Guardians, and you feel like you should probably at least go for the Pirates one. It's still a low floor. It still could be 4 innings of 5 walks in there, and the whip might not be something that helps a lot. This was a 1 whip game with a 4.5 ERA. Keep that in mind. Just be happy that you got this lovely strikeout game for McCullers here, and yes, I would pick him up against the Pirates. Speaking of the Pirates, you have Paul Skenes. Ace is going to ace. Nothing strange there. He's not going to be in the top tier with, or not really the very top with Skubal and Wheeler, because he's not really capable of going 7+ consistently. He just doesn't have that pitch ability. He has amazing stuff. He can generally throw strikes, but he's not the kind of guy that just figures out at bats and gets those efficient outs. Rasmussen is all about the efficient outs. 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 5 Ks, 10 whiffs, 32% CSW, just 74 pitches. That's 3 straight games of 6 innings for Drew Rasmussen. And yes, I know, Skenes was at 6.2 innings. I get it. I totally get it. It's as close as we'll see with it. But yeah, he's not really going to be that stable one that goes as many innings as those other guys. That's all I'm trying to get at. With Rasmussen, yeah, he's finally at 6 innings and he's so efficient. And that's why I've been saying that he should be going 6 innings a lot. It's more of a fact of his efficiency than it is necessarily the racing. The leash is off. But just keep in mind, he's gone 90 pitches before. And I do feel that the Rays are going to be letting him go through 6 constantly. I mean, it's 3 straight now. I do want to see the breaking balls get a little bit more involved. It's why he's as efficient as he is, though, because the breaking balls are the lower strike pitches. But I do want to see more strikeouts. I would love to see. I know it's in there. You have the stuff to do it. You can have that 7-inning, 8 strikeout game. I know that's there for Drew Rasmussen, but all right, you should just keep rolling with him. He's great. Matthew Boyd did wonderful things against Rocky Road. No, the slider is not back, but it's Rocky Road. So we had 8 strikeouts and 0 runs in 6 innings. Things are cool there. And he gets the Nationals and everything's awesome. Trevor Williams had a great game. He got the gold star. I want to call it the rainbow star. And Never Trevor, you know all of that. But sure, 0 runs, 6 innings against the Mariners in the T of Seattle. Cool. Clark Schmidt against the Angels, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. That's pretty good. We'll take this against the Angels. Him versus Will Warren. I like Will Warren more because the four-seamer is a big factor. Yes, Schmidt also has a really good sweeper. He doesn't have as good of a changeup, but he has a good cutter and curve to deal with lefties. Well, Warren's changeup is absolutely filthy. You have 2 different types of breakers with a sweeper and curve that he uses against lefties. He kind of tunnels off each other. And then the four-seamer, again, much better than Schmidt's four-seamer. Sinkers, I would even give the slight nod to Warren as well over Schmidt. So keep that in mind. But yeah, you got to be better with the curveball, Schmidt. Against lefties, 8 for 21 strikes, not quite what we want. But yeah, you're a Toby for a winning team, if not a Holly. Because look, 4 strikeouts, not really getting all those strikeouts. So I'm just going to call you a Toby for a winning team. We hold on 12 teamers. Tyler Mahle is someone I wish I was in on earlier this year. And it's been a little confusing to see what we're going to get out of him. But he's really been performing well. And honestly, yesterday against the Jays was one of my favorite starts from him all year. We got 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Blake's on blueprint all day doing his best Kevin Gausman impression. Why? 4 seamers upstairs at 92.6 miles per hour and splitters down for a lot of strikes. And that's great. That works. He has a really good schedule ahead. He had the cutter and slider earning strikes, and they play their role well, but he didn't really go to them. It was really just mostly 4 seamers and splitters. So good stuff there from Tyler Mahle. Paxton Schultz was on the other side, and he was whatever. It's 2.2 innings of 0 runs. He's not really supposed to be starting much, and I wouldn't have any expectation of Schultz starting again, nor should he become fantasy relevant for your 12 teamers. You have Noah Cameron going 6.1 innings against the Reds as he strolled down the Reds carpet. It was beautiful. of 6.1 innings of one earned run, six hits, two walks, and two strikeouts. Okay, so pretty much just the earned runs, and sorry, the ERA and the win. Now Seth Lugo's returning to the rotation, and you wonder, oh, wait, hold on a second. How does Noah Cameron fit into this? Because there really isn't much room anymore. You have Cole Reagans hopefully making a return as well after one more rehab start. Yeah, I'm sorry, Noah Cameron. I don't know if you're actually going to be in this rotation anymore. Maybe Mike Lorenzen leaves it. But as you can see, Cameron isn't the most overwhelming pitcher. Just 8 whiffs, 25% CSW. He did what I call the Martin Perez collection of going those cutters and changeups and breakers as a focus with sneaking in those fastballs and playing the edges well. That's good. I just don't think that Noah Cameron is this absurd breakout star that he has been across his first 4 starts. A lot of good matchups are involved in there. You have Luis Severino against the Astros. I'm happy he had a good one. He hasn't really a lot this year. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts for Severino. Yeah, Izutobi gets the Twins next. I don't really feel like you need to do that. Yusei Kikuchi survived for just one earned run in 5 innings, but he had an identical ERA and whip, 1.8, as he had 9 base runners with 5 walks and 4 Ks. The slider was a massive strike pitch with a 39% CSW, nearly 50% usage for Kikuchi in this game against the Yankees. It makes sense because a 4-seamer was a sub-50% strike rate. I'm very skeptical of this. He gets Fenway next. I don't want to do it. And yes, I know 2 of those walks were intentional to Aaron Judge in the first 2 innings. I know. We all heard about it. I'm still not interested. Clayton Kershaw, I'm not interested in either. He surprised me with 1 earned run in 5 innings. However, it was 8 base runners and 3 strikeouts, and you didn't get a win. Is that really worth it? I don't want to go after Clayton Kershaw. Back in the day, it was at his peak 94-95, but really 91-92 of 4-seamers inside with cut action and then sliders that were devastating, one of the highest swing strike rate pitches in the majors, underneath that to right-handers. That's how he destroyed them, and it was easy. Just do the same thing against lefties. It's pretty much the reverse DeGrom, but at much lower velocity. Then you have this curve that just comes in there for called strikes and just eases the day. Yeah, Kershaw barely got his fastball and slider inside to right-handers yesterday. This is not the old guy. Much lower velocities, well underneath 90 miles per hour. 74 pitches here. I just don't want to do this. It's not enough. This is one of the peak starts I think that we'll have from Kershaw this year unless he gets Rocky Road. Brian Bello against the Brewers, 4.2 innings and 77 pitches, just 4 whiffs and 21% CSW. 1 earned run though, 5 base runners, 2 strikeouts. Yeah, I don't like this. 55% strikes on sweepers and changeups. Nothing exceeded a 28% CSW. Threw a lot of sinkers over the plate and Koufax helped him out with those finding gloves. I'm not a fan of this right now. We did see some cutters. 4 out of 9 strikes, though. I do like the addition of the cutter, but yeah, it's got to be a strike pitch. It can't be that. Landon Roop went against Jackson Jobe. It was a very interesting start of them. Both kind of looking good for a bit, and then it falling apart. With Roop through 4, pretty solid. And then he had an error with Matt Chapman that kind of opened the doors to worse performance after that. Long story short here with Roop, I like the changeup that he focused on yesterday against left-handers. The cutter's coming along. The sinker honestly wasn't as good as we've seen, and the curveball wasn't effective out of the zone. Didn't get many chases on that, but it's working with Landon Roop. It generally is a better defense behind him, I think. I mean, Willy Adames is just having a bad season overall. Terrible shortstop defense, and obviously at the dish isn't doing well. Matt Chapman, you should normally have that grounder. It's surprising to me that he didn't. I hope he gets to 6 frames in the future. I think efficiency is a big thing, and hopefully that change up to lefties is developing enough to give him that. Hunter Green, 5 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He is not ace, is going to ace. Why? Because the slider is only at 60% strikes. That needs to be at 70%. That was the biggest thing. Not the velocity, believe it or not, but the slider returning so many strikes. Maybe it was a product of the velocity. It's possible. But he was at 98-99 here and 100 in the previous one. We still have only seen 60% strikes. That is the difference maker between last year and this year for Hunter Green. Hopefully we get that back. It's just the second start after his IL stint. And I'm going to give him one more at least to maybe consider, hey, look, this could be that ace is going to ace guy. Otherwise, we're going to have him around the 20s throughout the year of the list. You have Tanner Gordon going against the Cubs away from Coors, and he went 4.2 innings and 200 runs, and okay, whatever. Colby Allard was asked upon by the Guardians to go against the Dodgers, and he survived 4 innings of 200 runs. Wow. Okay, Drala, you do you. Freddy Peralta against the Red Sox in Fenway. Actually, I'm so sorry, not in Fenway. It was in Milwaukee. 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Ugh, he just couldn't put batters away. And this was Professor Chaos not throwing the breaking ball much, just 12 thrown, and they weren't very good. Yeah, let's just understand that we have Professor Chaos and Freddy Peralta as one member of our teams. He's a cherry bomb. This is going to happen, and we move on. We have Jackson Jobe, Griffin Canning, and Shane Smith all having interesting starts. None of them went more than, none of them actually hit 5 innings, is what I should say. And I'm going to talk about all of those guys and everybody else after this break. Jackson Jobe, 4.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. He was looking like he was surviving through this one at lowered velocity until he allowed a 2-run shot in the 5th inning. Yes, it was 93 on the sinker. This is a guy who was throwing like 97-plus last year. Oh boy, he didn't even take questions from reporters, and it's 2 ticks down on the velocity, 1-2. It does feel like something's up. He does get the White Sox next. If everything is just blown by and they say, no, whatever, it was a weird day, X, Y, and Z, we're starting Jobe in regular rest against the White Sox, then we say, okay, fine, I guess we're going to go along with this. I got a question, Lance McCullers or Jackson Jobe right now? Short term, I would take Lance McCullers because we don't really know what's going on with Jobe. However, as long as Jobe isn't actually hurt and it was just a weird day, yes, in a month, you'll want Jackson Jobe because Lance McCullers is your traditional hipster, headache-inducing pitcher, stifling the entire roster. He'll have those good games, but he will also have tough ones. It's like Taj Bradley, but slightly better, is Lance McCullers. You have Shane Smith versus Griffin Canning. It was a raining day, and I feel like it affected both of these guys. We have 9 walks between them. I'm going to tell you right now, don't do anything. Okay, 3.2 innings and 3 runs for Shane Smith, 3 innings and 3 runs for Griffin Canning. They both have really bad matchups next. Shane Smith gets the Tigers. Griffin Canning gets the Dodgers. I will mention Shane Smith's velocity was 95 and change despite laboring. And that's a good sign for his stamina. Remember earlier in the year, it was 93.8 or 94 would be the fastball velocity because he wouldn't be able to hold it through a game. The fact that he was laboring and was able to hold that 95 plus, that's good. Griffin Canning, we're not going to really touch against the Dodgers. I think that's a clear bench, but I feel like he should be fine after that. I mean, he's still keeping the slider and the changeup out of the heart of the plate, and that's a big thing. Pablo Lopez had a really tough inning. He allowed a home run on a changeup that was just over the plate to Brandon Lau, and he was 3 for 37 whiffs and 2 strike counts, which is a sub 10% put away rate. It was really frustrating to see it because he's so close. He is so close. And I'm excited for Pablo Lopez moving forward. I think this is going to be fine. Also, if you're wondering how I got that very specific count data, we added it to our PL Pro live pitch app that is essentially a better way of monitoring games than Stavant's game feed. No joke, I went to Kyle Bland. I was like, hi, I need help, because I want a better way to help me write these roundups and get all the information that I need as soon as possible. And this is what we've created. So just think about it this way. This is what I use, and I want to give it to you guys as well. So for those with PL Pro, you can access it, and you can get 15% off PL Pro yearly with promo code, I can do plugs, right? Promo code podcast. That's 15% off PL Pro yearly. Go to pitchless.com/premium. And that's for the full year. That's not the full season. That includes preseason next year and I guess pretty much all of May, through all of May last next year as well. So go get it now. Miles Michaelis against the Orioles, 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. I mean, he was singled out, but it's Miles Michaelis. He should get singled out a lot. And Koufax wasn't kind in this one. He's a 15-team Toby. For those who are desperate for wins, maybe you'll try it in a 12-teamer here and there. Zach Gallen against the Pirates. 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. He had some mishaps in the 5th, and then he had a careful Icarus in the 6th. I actually think he pitched kind of well. The changeup and the curve were down effectively. He had 4-seamers up really well against right-handers, and the slider actually kind of helped, but it didn't get any chases. It was a little bit weird. I think he's trying to figure things out in a good way, and that's cool. He gets Atlanta next, and then Seattle, and then the Padres. And then he goes into Coors. It's a little bit rough for Gallen, but I think he's a veteran who is going to fix things over time and make these tweaks. So I think I'm kind of in, but I understand if you want to drop. Kyle Hart returned from the minors to face the Marlins, and even as a lefty, it didn't work out. And he does not have a changeup. And it's just, yeah, I don't want to do Kyle Hart. Okay, cool. Cade Povich against the Cardinals. I actually think he had some interesting things here. Really good four-seamers up. Curveballs were down. 4.2 innings of 500 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, but 9 strikeouts. He does get Seattle and then the Tigers next, so I'm not in on that, but I think Povich over time is figuring things out here. Nearly 18 inches of vert on the four-seamer is kind of cool. You have Sandy Alcantara and George Kirby. Oh boy. Okay, so George Kirby, I actually am not too worried about. I know it's the second start. It was against the Nationals, etc. 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. I do like the fact that he's actually going out of the zone with his four-seamer. That's cool. The slider is not at all what I want it to be, but the curveball is actually going down. I think this is actually good stuff for Kirby, and don't worry about this. The velocity is there. It was all lefties. This is fine. Sandy Alcantara, though, boy, yeah, you just can't command anything. I mean, it's really that simple. 4 walks and 0 Ks. The changeup is a 40% strike rate pitch. Like, he just is not locked in at all and hasn't been since he left. And since that press conference where he said that he is not recovering as fast as he used to, then he gave birth. And, his partner came birth, and now he came back from that and just has not been the same. So, yeah, do what you want. I think that Sandy Alcantara is going to be a different pitcher when he gets traded. Wherever that goes, or wherever he is, or whatever it is, I don't know. But I think Sandy Alcantara, at some point this year, is going to become great. It's kind of like we've treated Blake Snell in the past. Where knowing that we hold on to it, all of a sudden, like June 15th arrives and bam, he's awesome or whatever. But at some point, it will happen for Sandy Alcantara. I'm not saying that you need to hold out for that, because if you see things on the wire that will help now, yeah, you probably want to do that. And it's not a guarantee that Alcantara is amazing later on. Value now is worth 3 times value later, is what I generally say. And later means a couple weeks to a month. So think about that. Do what you need to do. And I'm in pain. All right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.